All right, so yesterday on the top of Yudchet Amud Aleph, we finished off, we were discussing about Bekata Bezalot Eila, a Kohen Basefer, what the requirements of, for instance, Alot Eila, Sefer, Mechal Me'amarim, what all the requirements are in terms of what type of Sefer, what type of Kitav, what has to do, all these qualifications. Now the Gemara continues, Rava. So just as a note, Rava is very prominent here in the Gemara and Sota. We've seen Rava comes up a lot, and especially when we see him actually questioning when people darshan psukim, Rava appears numerous times asking a question about the drasha of the pasuk, how it doesn't seem to fit, and then he amends the drasha or he comes up with an alternative drasha, and we'll see that again today. All right, so the Gemara starts, we'll start 2, 4, 5 lines down from the top in Yud Chet Aleph. Vayirova, Katav Beis Megillot, the Shtei Sotot. They wrote separate Megillot for two different Sotot. Umachakan Latot Kos Echad Ma'u. Then they erased each Megillah into the single cup. So now we have Ketiva, the Shema Be'ino, and we need the writing of the Parshat Sotah for each Sotah, and that we have Vayika. Oh, Dilma, Be'ina, Nami, Mechika, Lishma. Not only do we need the Ketiva, Lishma, but we also need the erasing, Lishma, and therefore the erasing must be done independently. Ve'imtim Salomar, Be'ina, Nami, Mechika, Lishma. And if you want to say that we also require Mechika, Lishma, so you can see that the Ein Mishpat, and Ein Mitzvah is over there, which is from the Rambam, right? The Rambam, when it says, Imtim Salomar, already the Gemara is concluded. That what? Be'inan, Nami Mechika Lishma. That we need erasing Lishma. So that would mean that you have to both write it and erase in two separate cups. Machakan Bebeis Kozot. If he erased it into two cups, then Bechazer Be'irvan Mahu. And then he combines the two cups. After they erase them, they can go back and combine them. So now what? Mechika Lishma Be'inan Va'ika. We needed erasing for the particular woman, and that's what we have. Oh, Dilma, how love didaka shatya? We're not sure, right, that she's drinking hers, but how love didaka shatya? She's not drinking hers. I mean, the fact that they are now mixed together is basically that they're not drinking the one that's particularly designated for them. And now the Gemara again concludes, Vimtim Saloma, Havla Didaka Shatya. She's not drinking her own cup. So far, we have the situation where we require both Ketiva and Mechika Lishma, plus a third thing that we want her to drink. That's which we write or erase for her, we want her to drink. So now the Gemara says, Vimtim Saloma, Havla Didaka Shatya, Havla Didaka Shatya. They're not drinking them. So this is an amazing thing. Chazar Bechilkan Mahu. What happens if they redivide the cup afterwards? What's the din here? This is an amazing case. They write a Parshat Sotah for each woman. They erase the Parshat Sotah separately for each woman. Then they mix the cups together and then divide them once again. They mix the cups together and then they divide it up again so that each one will get their own cup. What's the question? Yesh Breira or Ein Breira? Do we say when we redivide the cups up that there's Breira and that whatever was divided up belonged to each particular sotah? And this the Gemara leaves with a take. The Gemara is unable to determine the answer here. Just to note, Tosfos spend some time on this, but that this type of breira, we have different types of breira. This is actually similar to a breira that we saw in the Darim a little bit, referring to the Ron Shita in the Darim. But in general, you have breira. When we generally talk about breira, we talk about something that we never knew. Right, any information. They were never separated or singled out. And then we come along and we say, all right, now when we divide it up, is that Igla Milsalim Afreya? Retroactively, is this what the intended designee was? So we have a mixture of some sort, for instance, Yerusha, where you have land, property, which was never divided, so it never belonged to any individual. Then we divide up the land, and do we say that this is Igla Milsalim Afreya, that each one of them, this was the land designated them from the time that it fell to them? This is an unusual, more unusual case of Breira. Tosfos brings some other cases and shows that the Gemara over, you know, Shas does not necessarily differentiate between these, but our case here is that they knew which one belonged to whom. And there was a point in time where the information was known. Then it was mixed, and then it split. So that the Breira here, we're asking something that was originally had been individuals and was separated, and now we're asking when we re-separate it, does that come back to its original status? Which presents problems for any tarovet. It's supposed to suppose that. Well, why don't you say by any mixture or any tarovet we mix together and then divide it, that you have this question of brera. And if you can have something that was separate, then combined and then separate, the brera should apply, or possibly brera should apply in all these cases, as opposed to the normal cases of brera where we never knew they were, where they were never separated, and now we're trying to separate them. So you're saying that brera comes from the word lebarer, right, which means that it clarifies, like a psak would be mebarer or something. And therefore, when we talk about it, when it's never been separated, we just say, well, now these two items now got, you know, this was what was originally intended. But here it's hard to argue that, right, the mixture was originally intended to, or was going to split exactly the way that it was designated. All right, so Marley says to take it. Amrav Zera Amrav, Beis Shvuot Hamurot B'Sulta Lama. All right, so now, or Lama, what are they for? So in the Pasuk, it says the Pasuk Kitab, Yishvi'alto Akohain, Be'amar Elisha, and then there's the positive thing. And then we have again in Pasuk Kof Aleph, Yishvi'akohain at the Isha. Right, Shvuot Allah. So twice the Parsha in describing what the Kohen's going to do with the woman says, Yishvi'alta, and Yishvi'akohain at the Isha. So why does it say Yishvi'ah that we make her swear twice? Now the Gemara says, Achad, Kodim Shin Mimcha Megillah, Achad, Achad Shin Mimcha Ka. One is for Shavuah before the Megillah is erased, one is for Shavuah after the Megillah is erased. So Matkiflo Rabba. So Rabba, this is where I was pointing out before, the Rabba comes on, Tarvayu, Kodim Shin Mimcha Megillah Tivan. Rabba rejects this interpretation of the Tzukim because they're both written in the Tzukim before the Megillah is erased. It says, Ishbiyat HaKohen, Apostle Yutet. The Apostle Rabba says, Ishbiyat HaKohen, Ishbiyat HaKohen, Ishbiyat HaLab, Amark Wen Isha. And then afterwards, it's Katavat which is supposed to have gimel. So the mechikat the sefer is only after both times that the shvuah has been right in effect. So how could you argue that the two different times that the kohen is mashbir are one before the erasing, one after the erasing? That doesn't make sense. That's not the order of the psukim. Elamar Rava, Achat Shvua Sheishi Ma'ala, Achat Shvua She'ini Ma'ala. One of them is a Shvua without the Allah, without the curse that comes along with it, and one of them is the Shvua with the curse. Because the first one reads, Vishbak Utah Kohen, Bamar Elisha, you know, dot, 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 dot. And the second reads, Vishbak Kohen et Eisha, Bishvua Ta'ala. So it's two different Tzuvahs. One's a plain Shvua, and one is a Shvua with a curse. So Mar wants to know, what's the difference between a Shvua and a Shvua that has an Allah with it or a curse with it? So Amarav Amram, Amarav, what's the difference? It's Mashbiyani Alakha Shalogni Tmeit. I take a Shvua that you did not become Tamei. She'imni Tamei, because if you were Tamei, then Yavoh Beich, that this water, Yavoh Beich, these waters will come into you and do their job. So now, the Gemara says that if you do that, right, Amarava, Allah l'chuda kaima, u'shvua l'chuda kaima. If you do it the way you're explaining, right, then the Shvua and the Allah, the curse, are separate. Meaning that I am Mashbi Allah Shalom Nitzmeit, which is one Shvua that you were, and then the Allah is, if you are Nitzmeit, this will happen. So the curse and the Shvua are on two different instances. The Shvua is that you didn't do it, and the Allah is that you did do it. So now it says, Rabbi says, I reject it. That's not what the Pasuk says, but it says Shvuat Allah. That's a single Shvua on the Allah. Alam Rabba, so Rabbi interprets again. Again, this idea that Rabba comes along, at the Rav Tzotah, we see it even through the Agadata. The Rabbi says, no, that's not the interpretation of a Pasuk. This is the proper way to do it. Mashviyani Alayach She'im Nitmeit Yavohu Bayich. And that's the Asher. The Shvua is, if I make a Shvua to you, that if you did do something wrong, this is what will happen to you. Right, so that the Shvua and the Allah are on the same instance. The both of the instance when she is Nitzmeit. I'm making a Shvua that if you were Tamei, then you're Bobayach. Samar Vashi, Allah, Ika, Shvua Leka. Then all you're doing over here is talking about the curse. There's no Shvua. Shvua implies that the Gabra is involved, that there's something about her. Right, over here, all you're doing is thinking a Shvua about the waters that they should work. Right, that's only Allah. That's a curse. That's not a Shvua about her. That doesn't have anything to do with her at all. So the Gemara says, Alama Rav Ashi, Mashvini Alayach Shalonit Meit. Ve'im nitmeit yavohu baich. Right, so they're taking a Shavua to you that Shalom is made, that you were not to make. right, then if you were tamei, they will come into you. So how's that different than what we had, right, before? Right, because before we said, mashpani alaych, shalom nitmeit, she'im nitmeit yavol baich, right? So that was an implied clause that was she'im nitmeit, because if you are tamei, but it had nothing to do with the shua, the Allah was not an extension, right, of the shua. Here you have two different things, which is what? Mashpani alaych, shalom nitmeit, ve'im nitmeit, right, that brings it back to the shua, yavol baich. So the shua is on the gabra, that you shalom nitmeit, that you were not tamei, and the shua also applies to ve'im nitmeit, in that it's modifying, the shua is modifying both statements over here. It's modifying the state shalom nitmeit, and it's modifying the statement of beim nitmeit. So therefore, there's a shua about both of these instances, as opposed to above when you said mashbein alayach shalom nitmeit, and then sheim nitmeit just means that's an outcome. That doesn't say that the shua applies to it. It just says if this is not true, then this will happen. That's not part of the shua. Over here, the shua applies to the gabra, to the woman, which is that you were not tamei. The shua applies to the Allah, that if you are tamei, this is what the water is going to do to you, and that's how you get shvuat Allah. And in the end, that's what the two times, or two instances that it falls out is, one is the Shavuah, which is on the woman, right, which is Vishviyat HaKohen, and the second time is Vishviyat Kohen at the Isha, Vishvuat HaAllah. Vishvuat HaAllah is the Shavuah on the Allah, on the curse, and that's what you have for two instances here, according to Rava, as modified by Rav Ashi in the end, that we get a Shavuah on the woman and a Shavuah on the Allah, on the curse. Alright, next Mishnah, as we said before, the previous Mishnah dealt with what exactly is written down in the Parsha based on what we read. The conclusion of that Parsha was, V'amra Isha, Amen, Amen. And the woman says, Amen, Amen. What is Amen, or what is she saying Amen to? Right, because we know that Amen, right, in general, means that it has a Kabbalah, right, it has acceptance, Yesh Bo Shavua, it has the ability to create a Shavua, and it has Hamanat Barim, which is the way we use Amen. When we enter a Bracha, we use Amen to say it is true, right? So be it, or this is true, because it's Hamanat Devarim. So over here, when she says Amen, what is she saying? What is she accepting? What is she, what type of Shavua is she making? And number two is, what is she trying to, you know, what's the veracity of that, what she's saying? So Allahi Omeret, Amen, Amen. So now the Kisvimah says, Amen ala Allah, Amen ala Shavua. So number one, Amen on the curse, which is, right, the acceptance of the curse. Amen ala shvu'ah, that she accepts the curse, or she, or the shvu'ah, or accepts the shvu'ah, or she's actually making the shvu'ah by saying amen. Amen mi'ish zeh, amen mi'ish acher. It says amen, it means both from this man, right, and as well as another man. Amen shlo satiti, satiti arusa v'nisu'ah. Right, that there was no problem both when I was engaged to you, as well as when I was married to you. Vishomerti abam uknusa, or while she was awaiting ibum, and when she was taken in. So now that, which the Gemara will have to address, is that a single case, or are these two different cases? I mean, how do you have someone who's an arusa nesua and a shomeret yabam and knusa? Right? The two are almost, in a sense, mutually exclusive, because a shomeret yabam never becomes an arusa, and she becomes a knusa, right? As opposed to a woman who's a, we call it, free and clear woman, who you marry as an arusa and a nesua, right? It's never a shomeret yabam and knusa. So are these two different cases, and the Gemara is just listening, mile, mile, and Mishnah, or is there a way to create a case where a single person is both a shomeret yabam and knusa and an arusa and a nesua? The way to do that is to have a divorce in the middle, right? And that he's machnitzer as his yabam, right? Yabama, the yabam as his yabama divorces her, and then as a recently can do, and suing again with her. So you could have it with a single woman. Question is that what the Mishnah is addressing, or is the Mishnah addressing two different cases?
What's the point in the Amen including, all the stuff that's much more historical when she was Narusa, when she wasn't born?
Right. Well, that's it. Once we're, and this is what we have, Gilgul Shvuah, but once we have her, right, in a position where we can, we're going to be Megalgil on her, we're going to add on anything else. I mean, that once we have her in a position where we can, then we take the opportunity to check her record, her complete record, right? I mean, that happens when the police pull you over, right? So if they never pulled you over, they would never know. But once they pull you over for something, then they look through and they check, like, your whole record. They go back historically, see, does this guy have anything else on there? The same thing over here. When they already, once they have her in a position where they can't feed her the mesota, right, they're going to say, all right, once we have her here, we're going to make sure that she has a totally clean record. If I am, then the waters will do their work. Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir has an unbelievable statement here, which if you think, you know, it's the instance where you think if we tell multiple items, here Rav Meir says, listen to this, Amein Shalom Nitzmeiti, Amein Shalom Etameh, right, that not only what, in the past, but in the future, right? So now, the question is, what does it mean when Rav Meir says, Shalom Etameh, in the future? Our Gemara will deal with it, Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi over here, the previous Amud, that obviously Rav Meir does not mean now, for the future. Now, it's not that the waters are going to work right now on something that she's going to do in the future, because it hasn't happened yet. But the point is that the waters will remain, right, in her, and that they will re-emerge if in the future she does something wrong. That's Rav Meir's interpretation, that once the water's in her, the water has the ability to re-emerge and punish her in the future if she acts inappropriately. Alright, now, everybody agrees, that there's no questions, we don't ask any questions about prior to her engagement, and after she's divorced, right, we do not ask any questions. So before marriage and after a divorce, we do not ask any questions. Nishtara be'achad v'nitmeit v'acharka hegzira. Right, so now, after he divorces her, right, she's nishtara le'achad, then she is then secluded with the person and becomes tameh, v'acharka hegzira, and then he brings her, takes her back as a wife. Lo haya matne iman. He may not be matne iman, this incident. Zeklau. Any time that she would have any interaction or any with another man, and it would not cause her a problem in her marriage, then that's not included in the checking. So case here, where there's an interim between, basically he divorced his wife, and then between the time that he divorced his wife and then remarried her, she had some incidents that took place. In those cases, they do not make her a surah to her husband. Right? You're going to ask, Rashi has here, don't we say that once a woman is divorced and gets married, then she may not, right, she's also the Bala Rishon. So Rashi points out that that's only with Kiddushin. Yeah. Right? If she interacts with another man with Kiddushin, then she's also the Bala Rishon. But here, she had no Kiddushin. So since she had, right, an out-of-wedlock relationship, then that's not a problem for returning her to her original husband. So her husband may not, on that incident, ask any questions, because that incident does not make her a surah to her husband. She was divorced, and then when he was remarried, he was not married to her at that time, and that was therefore not a problem of a biasura. It's not a biasura, that's not included under the category of things that we check by the mesodot.
Abashavi inish biaso bias,
whatever.
They say that Bezdin knows she definitely had this relationship in between.
Right.
That's ignored.
I mean, why isn't that considered Kiddushin? Right. I mean, that B.O. should be a B.O.'s Kiddushin? I don't know if we say that anymore. We Rav was cursed people who did that. I don't think we were Mafkia. The Rabbanan didn't allow Kiddushin like that anymore. Yeah. All right. I'm Rav Nuna. So Rav Nuna says, Shomeret Yabam Shizinda Asura Liyabma. All right. So Rav Nuna says that I Shomeret Yabam that had Znus while she was waiting. Asura Liyabma. The Yabam cannot complete the Yibam here. Mimai. How do you know this? Mikdani shall merit Yabam Yusuf. Why? Because what are the incidents over here where we allow him to be Megalgel? Here we allow him to add on additional questions that we ask. One of the questions we ask was about a Shomeret Yabam. And what do we say? What was the cloud? What was the general principle in the Mishnah? That only a Bia that will make her a Surah is that which we ask her about. So implicit in that is that a Shomeret Yabam that had a Bia would then become a Surah to the Yabam. So that's the conclusion. Iba is Ema Asura Mishum Hakim Matna Bahada. Therefore, you can ask her about it in the Mesodah. Eliyamat Lo Asira Hakim Matna Bahada. If that's the case, if she was not a Surah to him, if she had a outside right relationship before he was Miyabem her, then how could he ask her about it? That's not. That was our Mishnah's conclusion. Zakwal Koshi Ila Tibael Veloti Asura Lo Loyam Matna Imam. Any Bia that would not make her a Surah to him, he's not allowed to ask about. So the fact that he can't ask about it implies that it is a Surah. So the Gemara says, Amri Ber Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin, Amri Ber Marava means Rabbi Yirmiyah, means Amri Ber Marava, Leis Hilchasak Rav Amnuna. The Lacha is not like Rav Amnuna. Right? Ella Hadikani Shemerti Bam Knusa. So how do we explain the Mishnah? If the Lacha is not like Rav Amnuna, then how do you explain our Mishnah? Our Mishnah implies clearly that a woman who has a relationship or has a bias who during the time that she's a shomer yavam is a surah to her husband, because otherwise he couldn't ask about it. So what do you do with our Mishnah? Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. He, what's special about Rabbi Akiva? So over here we had a machlokas, as we've seen before in Yavamos, right? We've seen it probably listed in numerous places, where Rabbi Akiva argues on the Chachamim about Mamzerus. What creates Mamzerus, number one, and number two is because Mamzerus is created from marriages or relationships that are not, do not have Kedushin Tosin, where the Kedushin doesn't work. So everybody agrees that Kedushin by a Chiyuvei Kares, and if you have Kedushin with someone, that if you had a relationship with them, it would be Chayiv Kares, then the Kedushin are not Tosin. Therefore, the product of that relationship is a, right, Mamzer. Right, that'll be true. I mean, there are one other opinion, but let's just assume the general opinion is by Kares and Mises based in that's true, because the Kedushin is not Tosin, and therefore the product is a Mamzer. Whereas by Chiyuvei Lavin, there's only a lav, a simple negative commandment against it. There, we believe the plus in the Kedushin are Tosin. So, for instance, a Kohen, right, to a Grusha. Kohen to a Grusha is an Isur lav. There's no Kares, there's no Chiyuv Mises based in. Therefore, a Kohen who marries a Grusha, even though the Kohen that will be produced is a Kohen Kalal, he's not a Mamzer. Because the Rabbanan believe by Lavin, the Kedushin is Tosin. You're not allowed to be there, it's wrong, but the Kedushin are Tosin. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that it's not true either. That even Kedushin Lavin, right, Chiyuvei Lavin, the Kedushin is not Tosin. So even in the case of a going to a Grusha, or here, in our case here, a Yabama, who's waiting to marry her Yabam, what's the, right, what's the restriction here? It's a Lote Aisha, right, that she cannot go out to a foreign man. So it's just simply a lav here. There's no chiyuv kares. So Chachamim are going to say, okay, if she does have a relationship or ask with someone else, that is tosin. And therefore there's no mamzerus here. And there's no isur labalo. Again, there's only an isur lav here. Whereas Rabbi Akiva believes, no, that here we have an isur lav creates mamzerus. Right, and isur lav makes her asura labalo because of that. The fact that it's the equivalent of making a mamzer, therefore also that relationship will make her asura to go back to the yavam. So Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah who says that what? Shomeret Yabam and Kumsa. It has an outside relationship. The husband can ask about it because it makes her a Surat Nabala because it's like an Erva. According to Rabbi Akiva and Yisr Lab, the Yisr Karis of the same level. They're all the same. They're all Yisr Erva to Rabbi Akiva. According to Chachamim, there's a difference between an Yisr Lab and an Yisr Karis. They're on totally different planes. Yisr Karis, Yisr Misabedin is an Erva. Right? Therefore you produce a Mamzer. Therefore you're a Surat Nabala. Yisr Lab, right, that's not an erva. It doesn't produce a mamzer. It doesn't make it a surah labala. And that's who Rav Nuna, when the Gemara says the halachas are not like Rav Nuna, they're possibly like the Chachamim, as opposed to our Mishnah, who's going according to Rabbi Akiva. And that's how the Gemara solves the. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Oy Rabbi Yirmiya, mahu shiitne adam al nisui marishonim. Right? What about nisui marishonim? And nisuye achiv mahu. And so now, what happens if a man, again, remarries his wife, meaning they divorced and remarried, or he's now miyabing this woman, and now he wants to check her for his brother's nisuin, meaning that the original part version of his brother's marriage, not from the point that he started. So Tashma, Zakla, Koshi Tibael, Lodiasu, Lo, Lohia Matnima. Anybody who had a bia and would have been a surah, he's not a bimatna. Ahasira. Akanema matna. What would, in all these instances, what would happen? So let's think about it. If the original marriage, right, if he was married to her twice, in the original marriage, had she had an extramarital affair, she would now be a surah to him. So therefore he can address that, because this would affect his marriage to her today, because she would now be a surah to him if she did have something. Same thing with the brother. We had that before. If the woman had an extramarital affair, we had a sota by a original marriage, then she's cholechet velo mityabemet. He doesn't marry such a woman. When she had an extramarital affair during his brother's marriage to her, then he does not marry her. So again, in both of these instances, this will make her asura, and since they will make her asura, therefore he can be mat on them. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though we have now, it's a new marriage, you would think that a new marriage means within each context of a marriage, he's allowed to question her within that marriage. Beyond the parameters of the marriage, you're not allowed to ask her. That's what the Mishnah said. Before Yerushin, after Yerushin, there's nothing to talk about.
Is he the klal?
Right, so that's the question. Which one dominates here? Is it the klal that dominates, or is it the marriage that dominates? And that's the answer. The Gemara's answer is that the klal tells you that even outside the parameters of marriage, as long as this klal is in place, that we do, right, that it does apply. It does happen to be a
Kohen could have a whole separate set of questions.
In terms of?
A Kohen could have a whole separate set of Gilgulim, the Delay Shulah, like, were you Mizana after our divorce? Or you can't be Master Yerusha. And a Kohen could take a Yavim.
Right.
A Kohen could be a Miyavim, right?
A Kohen could, except for Kohen Gadol, a Kohen could be Miyavim, but he cannot be Master Yerusha. So he won't have, that issue of Yerusha. Alright, now, Rabbi Meir Omer, Amin Shlo Nitzmeiti, and Amin in the future. Tanya. It's not that we have some sort of magic here that it knows the future and checks her now for the future. Ella, this is what I mentioned in the Mishnah, when she becomes Tamei in the future, it's closer every year. At this time, it comes back to life. So the mind comes back here and checks her out. Tvoi Rav Ashi. Mahu, she yitne Adam on the Su'in ha'achronim. Can a person ask about the Nesuim Achronim? Hashta, right? Mia lo asirele. Odilma zimnin de megarishla v'halder mehadarla. So according to Rabbi Meir, who says you can ask on the future, how far into the future is he allowed to ask? Meaning that can he ask simply to the end of this marriage, to the conclusion of this marriage until Gemushin? Or can he ask even into his second marriage to her? Meaning that the possibility exists that he will divorce her and then remarry her. And does it have application point to remarry even to that second marriage afterwards? Or does divorce end the period here? Meaning that is divorce by definition a mechila on the kinoi, or meaning that it ends the work of this sota, mei sota, and that if he wants to introduce new mei sota in a new marriage, then we have to start again. We have to refresh. Over here, it doesn't work. Does divorce end this?
I've forgotten this. Can he do it again?
Next tomorrow. Very good. That's great. The next day. Until the end of the paragraph.
You build this in because he can't do it again, maybe.
We'll see. We'll see if he can do it again. All right. We'll see that in a second. Tashma, a kol shavin. So our mission says, shelo ayamat nima lo kodim shetitaresh, velo akar shetitkaresh. That's what our mission explicitly says, that he can't ask about before this marriage and after this marriage. So that's the question here. According to Rabbi Meir also, Tirushin is the end of the questioning period. So what? But the Mishnah gives an example. What's the Mishnah's example? Nistara l'achad v'nitmeit, right? V'acharkach yatzirena lo yamat ne'ima. So what the case is where he divorces her, she has an affair or something goes on in between the time that he divorces her and the time he remarries her. So that time does not make it a sur her. He's not allowed to ask about that. So now the Gemara says, well, implicit in that is yatzirena v'titamei v'alkanami dematne. Meaning that the Gemara, the case that the Gemara gives is only the case, meaning you would have been a bigger kiddush that he can't ask about a case in the future marriage when he's remarried. That's not the case the Mishnah gives. The Mishnah case, what's the case you cannot ask about between the two marriages? Implicit in that is that he can't ask about the case in the future marriage. Shmamino, that even in Rabbi Meir, he can ask not only until the end of this marriage, but even into the second marriage that he has with her, meaning that divorce is only final in the sense that it ends it when it ends his ability to marry her in the future. But if he can still remarry her, that will reignite the Zot. So this is the end of the parsha. The end of the parsha of Sotah says Zot Torat HaKinaot Asher Tistei Isha Tachat Isha V'Nitme'ah. Right, so this is Zot Torat. Right, so you have a term of Zot and Torat. Zot is usually an exclusionary term, I mean this and no other, and Torah is usually an inclusionary term. So the question is, what do we include and what do we exclude? Zot Torat HaKinaot. Now the Gemara says, Zot Torat HaKinaot Malecha Isha Sotah V'Shonah. That she can drink twice. I mean, that she can drink and she drinks again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zot Sheina Isha Shotav Sana. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, that Zot teaches you that she drinks once and not multiple times. Amri Yehuda Masa Vehi Eid with Manenu Nuchunia Chofer Sikhin, that came before us, Sikhin, or Borot, right, that he used to dig out the water pits for the Ole Regalim. That was his job. He was the waterman. So he used to dig out the borot. So he says, "Shulta b'shona," right? And she says that a woman can drink twice. The kibalnuei duto b'shnei anashim avalo b'ish echad. It says, but we modified his edut and we accepted only with two different men, but not with one man. So according to the Tanna Kamma, a woman can drink multiple times, even sounds like with one husband. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman can drink multiple times, right? But only in a case where it's two different husbands that are making her drink. Chachamim say that there's no way a woman drinks once in her life and that's it. So now the Gemara is going to go through each one of their limudim. The Tanakama nami ktiv zot, but it's right, nami haktiv torat. According to the Tanakama, who says that a woman can always drink, what does he do with the exclusionary phrase zot? Chachamim say that a woman never drinks twice. What do they do with the inclusionary phrase of, right, torat? So Amar Rava, so this is Gemara, Rava's going to explain again, Rava appearing, I'm just pointing it out, I've seen it all the way through, I just want to point it out to you also, that Rava appears so many, numerous times here in Sota. Amar Rava, B'ishachad, U'boel achad, U'kuliyam alopligi, Dein Ishashotab Shona. If it's the same husband, right, and the same man that she warned against, right, everybody agrees that she cannot make her drink twice about the same individual. The same husband cannot make her drink twice about the same man that is suspected.
Double jeopardy.
Right? Right.
That's the word. But separate acts. These are two separate acts.
Two separate acts, but again, it's the same...
Especially if it's not like Rabbi Meir, that he can...
That is not necessary. Right? Yeah. If it's all the same players, then she cannot drink twice. Right? That's the question. Zot, all right, so dichtiv zot. That's the exclusionary phrase. Right? B'shnei anashim u'shnei bo'alim. If all the players are different, meaning she has a new husband and a new, all right, suspect here. Tukum alo pliga de'isha shutab shona. Everybody agrees that she can drink again. Dichtiv torat. So that's the inclusionary phrase of torat. So the extreme cases, everybody agrees she doesn't drink, which is it's all the same players. Right? If it's all different players, then everybody agrees she does drink. So that's the zot and the torat. Right, except for her. Right, so now, where's the machlokis? Tiplige, where are the in-between cases? Tiplige, b'ishachad b'shnei bo'alim, the same husband, but two different suspects, or b'shnei anashim, or it's two husbands with the same suspect. Tanakama sabar torat l'ribuye kohi. Torat comes to include all cases, except for zot, the one case that it excludes is the muta ishachad bo'alim, where it's the same player, again, where it's all the same players, in that case, he agrees that she doesn't drink again, otherwise, she drinks again. The Rabbanan by Tri Sabri, the Rabbanan at the end say what? Zot li mute kulu. That Zot excludes every case, except for the one case which it does include, which is Torah, the Rabbi Shnera Shimashne Boim, where all the players change. We have a new husband, new Boel, new suspect. Then the Rabbanan say that she drinks again. Rabbi Uda, Zot li mute tarte, Torah li mute tarte. Right? So split the difference. Right? Split the difference. We have four cases. Two of the cases will be included, and she'll drink again. Two of the cases will be. She doesn't drink again. What type of inclusion? Like, what is that? Split the difference. Why would you split them? What's the logic here? So Rashi, it's very interesting. Rashi over here says, right, he says, the Akha Riba Katuf Umiyot, it's the last Rashi in the parak Rabbi Yehuda, severely. The Akha Shariba Katuf Umiyot, Lo Pirish Ma Riba Umamiyot. The Torah never tells you exactly what it's including or excluding. Al Korchok Lo Masana Katuf Ela Chachamim. This is a term we have, like the Ramban has this by Kolomoe, we have it by other Oraisas where it's unclear what the Doraisa is after. So the Doraisa gives you a general framework, and then the Chachamim get to apply the framework in which the Doraisa applies. So the same thing over here. That's what Rashi is describing over here. There's a Doraisa of inclusion and exclusion. It's not clear what to include, what to exclude. It leaves it up. El Chachamim, the first one, Lepichach Matan, Mariba, Umamiyet, Umistabra. So he says there is a logic to this, which Chachamim is going to do in a second. Diribuye, Shnei Anashim Kai. When it comes to inclusion, that's when you're dealing with two husbands. Even if it's the same suspect. Not by one husband and two suspects. Why? Because now the husband starts to come under suspicion here. Why? They came into Kina Lakfar. He already was, you know, he put her through the whole process. She drank the water and she was clear. Right? It sounds to me now suspicion is falling on the husband that he's a little bit of a, right? He's a little bit of a, right, a complainer, someone who is, right, little gets angry a little quickly and suspects a little quickly. I mean, it's kind of like me tough. And therefore he's trying to get his wife, right, check her out.
Paranoid.
Paranoid, good word. That's exactly right. Hilkach, lo shnami chashad rishon, lo shnami acher. So that's why, now the division of Rabbi Yehuda, let's read it inside. So now Rabbi Yehuda is zot li mute tarte, torat li mute tarte, zot li mute tarte, esh echad u bol echad. What's the mute? That's when it's one husband and one suspect, ish echad u shnei bolim, or one husband and two suspects. Again, from the logic of Rashi, which is that once the husband's already put her through the process once, and she's got a clean slate, why we're going to put her through again? Now we start to worry about the husband's Right, questions here. Torah, the Ribui Tarte. So what is that? To include two cases. Tarte, Shnei Anashim, Ubalecha. When there's two husbands and one suspect, or Shnei Anashim, Ushnei Balagim. Or two husbands and two suspects, in that case, we'll include it. That explain the three cases of over here.
And the Shavuot play into the fact that we're going to put the Shavuot covers, you know, after before.
No, it doesn't. Wait, it doesn't matter. Historically, it's not an issue because in all these cases, the Shavuot issues aren't. The real issue is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who says that there's a future check by the waters, that's where you have a question. So Rabbi Meir obviously has to hold, right, like the opinion that you don't show in a shelter of a shona, meaning that he has to hold it like the chachamim, basically, here, who say that she never drinks again, because otherwise Rabbi Meir's opinion doesn't make any sense.
But she never drinks again for the same husband.
That's okay, because Rabbi Meir, we already said that after Girushin, we're talking about a totally different case. And this idea that Rabbi Meir's closer to nearer is only either before Girushin, or even after Girushin, which we concluded, it's the same husband remarrying his own wife. But after Girushin, a new husband, we're talking about a totally new case here. Then even Rabbi Meir is going to agree that the Mesil Ta from the first husband don't cover this second husband.